In this life, there are two ultimate paths. One takes you away from God, and the other guides you directly to Him. And this is the path we're here to talk about. Welcome to Disciple Life. On Sunday, I woke up with this song that I haven't heard in decades. And it's one of those fast songs that you hear in African American churches sometimes that you don't hear in the churches that I fellowship in now. but I thought had the song ringing, and the words are, when I think of how you brought me through and how the Lord changed my life, my soul gets overwhelmed and I get joy, 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 unspeakable joy. So I woke up with this thing ringing. And so I had all this joy and happiness, and of course, like I was just saying not too long ago, when God put me and Shauna together, we could be more opposite, because I'm the morning person and she's the night person. So in the morning, she's not trying to have all that, you know, moving around and all that kind of stuff. So I already am like that in the morning, and then I wake up with this joy song. So I'm in there, I'm just going for it. And I went from that to this deep, I just had to say, just this deep appreciation for what the Lord has done. And then it turned to just, I was a mess all day. I was crying, I'll admit it, I cried. I was crying. Then we get to church and it's like, they start singing these songs, and they're singing a lot of songs about the blood of Jesus and all that, and then him rising from the dead. And I'm just a mess. Every song, I'm just in there. I got glad I brought tissues. And we're always walking in the reality of Christ's resurrection. But sometimes it impacts you more than at others. And so, you know, maybe it's just because of the day and how we celebrate the day and all that, but it just, all day long, I was just a mess. And I thought about the scripture in Colossians, which that's what I had in the bank for today. Because the resurrection is a historic event. You know, this, it's kind of like the apostle said, we haven't given you cleverly devised fables that, you know, stories that we came up with or whatever. We were eyewitnesses of his glory. The scriptures are, as I think Bodhi Bakum said, reliable accounts of historic events, you know, which that's what the faith that we have is based upon. It's based on historic events. And so the reality is there, but the implication for us of the fact that Christ rose from the dead is, I think, a major part of our, not only our faith, but it should be a major focus for us. And that's what I think in Colossians it hits. If I could read this part in Colossians 3, I think I want to read to the 17th verse.
Beginning at which
verse? Verse 1, Colossians 3, verse 9 to 17. And it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming Hold on, I just got a glitch here, which you don't have if you have a paper Bible. But because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, see you also must do, or so you also must do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then after that, it goes into things about how, some practical things about how we live in our homes, how we deal with our employers and all that kind of thing. But this here, when it starts off talking about if you then were raised with Christ, and that's the thing. I think that's the foundation of all the rest of that. It's our identification with Christ in his death, in his suffering, in the life that he lived, and in his resurrection. We kind of get grafted into that, and our identity is in Christ, and in Christ in every way, which is an amazing thing to me. And so when I look at this and see how, as a disciple or a follower of Christ, all those things that it says I should be about, and where my focus should be, and how I should deal with others, and what I should be doing, and why, all of those things are wrapped up in my being identified with Christ. And it says in that first verse, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's saying you died. Mm. And we know that that was with Christ, and that we've been raised with him. And it says, if that's the case, then if you were raised with Christ, and I like how, when I look at the tenses in here, and I'm not a Greek scholar or anything like that, but I'm talking about just in the English, the died and the raised are all past tense, because that is the actual event of his crucifixion and the resurrection. But then that comes into the present, because it says in the second verse, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. And then it says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a present tense. And so again, when we look at the resurrection as a believer, we're seeing a past event that set into motion everything that we're talking about now. The resurrection has already begun, but we've already participated because we're in Christ by the grace of God. So that's kind of where I see, as a disciple of Christ, that's the core.
Right. Everything that you have read and said thus far, John, with Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 1 through 17. These are actually all the effects flowing from the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Christian life ought to look like, or the mm-hmm. disciples' life ought to look like.
Right.
Because of the resurrection. But there are, of course, some people who question the resurrection or wonder about, well, how do we know this is even true, this, you know, this resurrection?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because one of the earliest proclamations that is made concerning that is that Christ appeared to Peter and the 12 and then the 500 believers simultaneously. And it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about this in beginning in verse 3. He says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And then he appeared to the various disciples.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because it's believed that that is one of the earliest creeds in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was already being propagated, repeated throughout the disciples' community early on. Not years, but immediately.
Right.
You know, after the events.
Right. Right.
So I was just, you know, for anybody who might be listening and wondering, well, why should Colossians 3 have any effect on me? Or, you know, the reason is that we're not talking about something which is pie in the sky.
Right.
We're not talking about something which is a spiritual resurrection only.
Right.
We're not talking about something which is a myth. We're talking about something which is provable mm-hmm. through historical eyewitness testimony and evidences
right.
that significantly prove up the fact that, yes, Jesus died and he rose again on the third day.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore,
that's right.
Per chapter 3 of Colossians, this is how we ought to live in light of that,
right.
that reality.
Yeah, it brings me back to whenever I'm asked or have been asked why I believe any of it to the extent that I do. It's, of course, we know that the Holy Spirit in us, who we have from God, gives us all that we need to know him, to love him, to serve him, the power to be in that relationship. And I also have the testimony of that's available to anyone without the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The testimony is there that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus rose from the dead. Now that mm-hmm. part right there, the first two people are willing to grant you. Okay, there was a Jesus. Even people who tried to deny that he existed and say he was a myth, that's just silly these days. There's just too much evidence that he's an actual person.
Even the, I'm going to say tongue-in-cheek, the Bible scholar, Bart Ehrman, who was evangelical
mm-hmm.
and basically became agnostic, if not atheistic,
mm-hmm.
even he has to say to anyone who claims that Jesus never existed, even he has to laugh at that.
Right.
Because the evidence is too strong to right. say that Jesus never existed.
Exactly. And of course, people have no problem with the fact that he died. They may squabble about how, but I mean, this was 2,000 years ago. He's dead. Okay. They're okay with that he died. They're not okay with the reason, because God tells us why he died, mm-hmm. which was for our sins, as you just quoted from the scripture. But the part that he rose from the dead, that's the biggie right there. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Now that's going too far. You know, people don't rise from the dead. Well, you're right. Don't rise from the dead.
And by the way, that was something that a 21st century person says equally as much as a first century person
that's right.
said.
That's right.
Because in our experience, that's absolutely true.
Right.
But Jesus was more than that, and he was outside of normal experience.
That's right. That's
people,
right.
People at the time who experienced the life of Christ were experiencing something that was quite different and supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know why it would be so difficult for Jesus to be raised from the dead if he created the heavens and the earth.
Well, there you go.
You know?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard somebody say that an atheist doesn't believe in any of the miracles that the Bible talks about, but they want you to grant them one miracle, and that is their universe. that everything came spontaneously from nothing, and that design came from non-intelligence, information came from nowhere and formed into whatever. Yeah, that's the miracle they want you to give them. They just don't want to say it was God. But that's, you know, that's the thing. It's like, this is something that people will see the evidence of. As you said, there's eyewitness testimony, and let's not forget that the guys who testified about it at one time were like scared little sheep running away. I mean, Peter, who many people look at as one of the chief apostles, which they didn't have a chief apostle, but he was one of the main ones speaking and bold out there and preaching and all that, spreading the gospel that Jesus had risen from the dead. This is the guy who the account was made that denied Jesus. He was so scared that he actually swore that he did not know Jesus. And it said that he swore, he cursed. And it wasn't cursed like saying a nasty word.
And saying a malediction, an oath against himself.
Right, right. Yeah. It was something that you're going to say in the strongest sense, I do not know this guy.
And then the rooster crows.
Right. Exactly what Jesus said. And so this is the guy who comes out and says, he's risen. Mm-hmm. I've seen him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like for me, I have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. But then when people would ask me, why do you really believe this like you do? My answer is always because I have too much evidence to deny it. It's as simple as God does not leave himself without a witness. There is too much evidence to deny it. And, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is the basis on which all of the other implications come. And God shows it to us in his word that resurrection applies to me.
Sometimes people will skip over the beginning parts of the Gospels, especially if it has to do with genealogies or whatever.
Right.
Some people skip over Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Through verse 4, because Luke, who was not one of the apostles, but was very close to Paul,
mm-hmm.
and wrote down many things that Paul talked about,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't just Paul. He says in Luke 1, verse 1, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished, or fulfilled among us. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you. And he addresses here the most excellent Theophilus. There are some ideas of who that could have been, but it's uncertain. And why does he do it? That you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught,
right,
which would include the resurrection.
Right.
And so Luke, a physician, well-trained, well-educated, played man in the street. He went and interviewed eyewitnesses, and mm-hmm. what did you see? What did you hear? What did you experience?
Right.
And all of those things ended up in not only the Gospel of Luke, but also in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which were the experiences and the testimony of the early church.
Right. Things, by the way, and you made the point that a 21st century person would say the same thing as a first century person. They weren't knuckle-dragging Neanderthals that didn't have a brain. Those people were intelligent, probably more intelligent than we are in many ways in our generation.
They were able to eke out a living from the land. Many of us wouldn't be able to do that.
You know? Yeah. And sail without the instruments. So, you know, but the thing is, these people, they knew what they saw and heard. And they, when they had test, when they took testimony, they knew how to take testimony and they knew how to search and find out things. They knew how to examine evidence. There's so many things that they knew. And these accounts were written down in a way that people could have easily refuted it if it wasn't true. They could have easily refuted it. And I think the last time I was over at the chapel and, you know, spoke on it, I made that point, which I'm sure you gentlemen know very well, is that they didn't want this thing to spread. They did not want this. The Jewish leaders didn't want this thing to spread, and the Roman government didn't need more problems. You know, they didn't want this thing to spread.
But John, think about it. The Jews didn't want it to spread. The Romans didn't want it to spread. How easy it was, or would have been, for them to just stop it from spreading by producing the body.
That was my point. You beat me to the punch there, because that's what I said. It was the easiest thing in the world. They had the body. The body was under their control.
It was in a sealed tomb.
That's right. And guarded by guarded by both
Romans and Jewish authorities.
Right. So. And those scared little sheep that denied him and ran away when he was arrested, they're the ones that are going to come and steal the body for this mythological, you know, story that they're putting together. No way. They could have just said, look, let's be done with all this. Okay. Here's this beaten, bruised up body, just dragged it out into the middle of the town square and put it out there and said, there he is. Okay. Are we done with this resurrection stuff? But they weren't able to produce the body, and they have not been able to produce the body.
On the contrary, then you had up to 500 witnesses.
Right.
Who then said that they saw him, heard him, interacted with him, mm-hmm. kind of like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
Who interacted with him without even realizing it was him, right. Until it was almost done.
Right. Jesus want them to know who he was, but he wanted to point to the scriptures that pointed who he was,
right.
Which is our model all the way through scripture.
Right. Yeah.
A very important part of the road to Emmaus where, He says to them that everything that is written about me in the law of Moses and in Psalms,
mm-hmm.
and the prophets,
right.
would come true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, let's face it. I really doubt that even though there were Jews who were waiting for the Messiah, and had ideas of what that looked like,
mm-hmm.
and what that might be like.
Right.
Many had the idea that the Messiah was coming as some political hero to overthrow Rome.
Sure.
Which is not what happened.
Right.
Which is not what it was about. But you have many people who had ideas about who the Messiah might have been. Mm-hmm. I don't think in the Jews' wildest dreams they ever would have imagined that the Messiah who was coming would be Yahweh himself in the flesh. Mm,
yeah, right.
I think people still have problems with that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, that's cool. Out.
Yeah.
And we, when you stop and think about it, I think about that kind of thing just about every day, and it still boggles my mind.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That the creator of the universe, that he who spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, that he who spoke to in the burning bush to Moses,
mm-hmm.
he who called Abraham out of Mesopotamia to go to a different land,
mm-hmm.
he who spoke to Joshua and Isaiah and all that person, God, was born as a baby in a manger, mm-hmm. and ultimately was to die and resurrect.
Can't plumb the depths of that.
No one in Israel would ever have expected that.
No.
And people still don't believe that.
Right, right. And to that point, that's the one who says that I and you and you and that we who believe are in Christ.
Yeah.
He's the one that tells us that applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one, right. He's the one that says that now that you are in Christ, you have already died and you have been risen with him. And this is why your present life, he says, now when Christ, who is your life, not the center of your life, not a part of your life, not the best part of me or anything like that, but when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also will appear with him. It's that one, God, Yahweh, who assures us that the resurrection was on our account. And that if we see ourselves now walking around in this world with all the darkness and all of it, that we can live as the light and that we can live in love, that we can cast off and cast off the old man, put on the new man, which is renewed in Christ. That's why I say this is the core of it, is that everything that needs to be done has been done by him. It's difficult many times, and I say for many, many believers, many Christians, it's still a difficult concept to realize that only in the biblical faith is everything vital and necessary is already done.
Right.
Only in the biblical faith. In any other man-made religion, whatever it may be, and they may have some truth in there, there may be some things in there that I can respect and learn from and all that, but at the end of the day, they miss it in this vital point that every other faith in the world created by man is about what you must do to get to that vital, whatever it is. I don't care if it's the next level, nirvana, the cosmic consciousness, or whatever it may be. You have to do something to bring that about. In biblical faith, we understand from God's word, it's already been done. Yep. Now that you have died, now that you have been risen, now that you are with him seated in the heavenly places, live like this, live like that. You're not living this way in order to attain that, to achieve that. You are living this way because of that. Mm-hmm. It's already been accomplished. And this is the beauty of it. When I think about it, and I think that's why I was so messed up Sunday, because that song,
you remember which one it was? Which song?
The song, I get joy, 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 unspeakable joy. The song is, it says, when I think of how he brought me through and how the Lord changed my life, my soul gets overwhelmed and I have joy. But I'm overwhelmed because he has already done these things. He's not requiring anything of me in order to have eternal life. Eternal life over and over and over again is shown in the scripture as a gift. That's something else, Kevin, that, like you said, the Jews wouldn't have imagined that the Savior, the Messiah that they were waiting for was actually Yahweh. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have imagined it. Neither would they have imagined.
And most Jews still can't accept that.
No. And neither would they have imagined that everything that had to do with coming into the kingdom of God, being a child of God, would be a gift.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have imagined that either. They didn't imagine that. And I know there's some scholars, supposed at least out there, who say that the Jews had that concept. But I don't see that. I see Jesus coming to, Nicodemus came to Jesus. I see him saying to this Pharisee, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't even say it. You can't even understand it unless first you are born again. And I put in the word first, but that's what it says.
Yeah.
Because it's a cause and effect. He said, unless you are born again, you cannot. And that's something you can't do. You know, there's a guy that used to be out here that would hold up a sign saying, you must be born again. In fact, he held it up in the King James and say, ye must be born again. And it's like, yeah, that's true. But if you're trying to tell the people that are driving by that there's something they must do about that, I'm sorry. I did not participate in my first birth. And I just as sure can't participate in the second one. It's a gift.
The wind blows where it comes and it goes into, and no one knows where it's coming from or going to. It is with the Spirit of God, right?
That's right. And everything that the scripture says from that point on here in Colossians, do this, do that, so on and so forth, it says, therefore,
yeah.
You know, because of these things, because this has been accomplished, you live this way. You're not living this way in order to get it. You're living this way in response to it.
I think of was it Malachi that says, what does the Lord require of you?
But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. And how can we not walk merciful with another person or anyone around us that hasn't treated us well? Because we ourselves were once enemies of God, rebels, and not treating Christ the way he deserved ever.
Right.
You know, and do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. Walk humbly, you know, is it, like it says, God, at Philippians 2, verse 13, it is God who put in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we're going to walk carefully, you know, in thinking about the salvation that has been given to us as a great gift.
Right.
And it says, do justly, right? Don't just do it any way you want. Do it according to my ways, according to what I've given.
Right.
You know,
praise the Lord. You know, and even there, the other one is to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And there,
boy, we struggle with that one. But I'm thankful that even Christ fulfilled that for us so we can grow in our love and adoration for what he's done in gratitude.
Another thing I would add as we discuss, proofs of the resurrection, yeah. A listener could be listening to us and say something like, well, you guys are quoting other believers for the existence of Christ. You guys are quoting people who came to believe in him in his lifetime, you know, Paul and Peter and all the disciples. But it isn't true that unbelievers did not give testimony.
Mm-hmm.
There were, for example, references to the existence of Jesus and to the fact that believers believed in his resurrection and followed him by the Jewish scholar Josephus, mm-hmm. who himself was not a Christian.
Right.
And not only that, there were enemies of Christians who wrote about this. Pliny the Younger, Suetonius, the Roman historian. Mm. There are records of people outside of the Christian fold who confirm these things. And then, of course, archaeology is a big confirmer of the veracity of Scripture.
Right.
Always catching up. Oh, it's already been written.
Yeah. It's always interesting that, at one time people didn't even think that Pontius Pilate existed, even though he's prominently featured in the Creed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't believe he existed because there was no evidence found for him until they found the Pilate stone and coins with his image on mm-hmm. it through archaeology.
Yeah.
And so people who had been mm-hmm. saying, oh, he never existed, they had to change their tune.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what you find once you start digging.
Yeah.
You know? and much of what they found, many times they found from the biblical account. In other words, they knew where to dig in certain areas because of what the scripture says. And then they dig and find exactly what the scripture says, like a map.
Yeah. So
I'd like to look at this quickly, though, in Colossians. Again, we looked at 3, but in the second chapter, I'll start at the 6th verse.
Which translation are you reading from?
That's a good question. I'm getting this off my phone, and I'm not sure exactly which one they loaded up here. It might be one of the NASBs. But it says here, Colossians 2 and 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Mm. That right there is again what it's all about. Our identity is in Christ, in myself. Complete. That doesn't even compute. But the scripture here says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. We're supposed to have that as a basic understanding of where we are right now. And once again, it's all a gift. It's God has placed us in Christ. He's accounted everything that Christ accomplished as being on our behalf. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that you just, like you were saying, Kevin, you know, when you contemplate almost on a regular basis that this was actually God. This was Yahweh. This wasn't a dude that he sent like Elijah or Elisha or even Moses.
Or Michael the Archangel.
Right. Yeah. That's not who it was. It wasn't someone who God sent. It's God who came.
Well, yeah. No one, whether an angel or a human, would be able to pay the price for all of humanity's sins.
Right.
Exactly. Only God could do that.
Right. And so when we look here again in this 10th verse, this is God through the writer saying that you are complete in him. That's his assurance. That's got to change things, man. that's got to change things. That's not me just walking around trying to practice a religion so I can get some brownie points with the deity. Mm-hmm. This is me being able to walk in gratitude and thanksgiving,
because he's already given us all the brownie points we need.
That's because he earned them himself.
That's right.
And then that was imputed to us. And I'm so thankful that we do have a time, even though we do every day realize the truth of Jesus incarnation, which is, you'll never plumb the depths of that, death, burial, and resurrection. But then I'm thankful that we have a season where we really highlight that, think about that. Because I think that, I mean, for crying out loud, man, you know, people still celebrate their own birthdays and make a big deal out of that, you know. And it's like here we have the greatest of all historic events. Yeah, it's not that we only recognize it at this time of year, but the fact that we do highlight it at some point in the year, it really does bring it back to your thinking in a profound way. And people teach and preach on the resurrection, which is, in my estimation, you can't do enough of that.
Right.
You can't do enough of that. His death is only relevant if he rose from the dead.
Right.
And that's what the apostle said. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain and we're still in our sins.
We might as well all go home and, you know, sleep in on Sunday mornings.
That's right.
Because if Jesus has not been resurrected, then the entire Christian faith is futile.
Yeah.
I go about a blessed assurance. And then to say that, like that song says, Jesus is mine.
Yeah,
I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Why is God? I can't get to the depths of that either.
No.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for this time, because I know we got a little fired up, but you won't get fired up when you talk about the resurrection, man. And when you're talking about the fact that you're in it, that you right now can look at yourself as having already died. And our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and we're just waiting for the body to catch up with what's going on.
Yeah. So it's already true, but it's not yet fully realized.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The already and the not yet.
Right. All right. Well, this has been a good one. We'll, God willing, we'll do this again next episode. Amen.